28th, 2018, month-end meeting at 6:30, and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Ready? Those need to be turned on.
All right, welcome everybody to the audit meeting for August 28th, 6:30. Again, actually, a little bit late, 6:30, 7. With that, we'll roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilwoman Leclerc?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And Rudy, where were we with signature? Have we got?
Just finishing one.
Well, that's going on. We'll run down a few items for discussion. First item that I have is whether or not the town board would like to approve a refund for one of our residents whose child, prior to the camp, was injured. We have a doctor's note on the file. She's looking for a $40 refund. The voucher was signed by the rec director. And the question arises, we have no policy on it. So my question is, do you want to authorize the refund? This was for the field hockey camp at Morrell Rec. She missed June 25th and June 26th as a result of the injury before.
If I may, I don't have a problem refunding this. I know last month, we had this happen as well with some other camps, and I said, we're kind of wording for our flyers for next year. I think we just need to be clear, because I think right now it says refund policy is stated on the town hall website. And then it really, it's kind of vague well there. So we haven't had too many of these refund requests. You can see it getting out of hand. If it's like, let me sign, you know, if we want to sign people up and take them out. If this seems legitimate, I think it is. I don't have a problem with refunds at this point. We've done, we did it already for another family. We refunded two for $80 going back in July. So I think to, you know, keep that going, I think I don't have a problem with this one either. But my comment as to that is, I can see it being problematic if we have kids dropping to the point where then we can't pay our staff that's running these certain camps. So we have to have a better refund policy going forward.
Right, and that should be clear, the doctor's certification was that this individual would be unable to return to gym or sports until July 11th of 2018, so there's no way.
Yeah.
Person could.
No, I, yeah, again, I think this was probably not a, hey, we scheduled vacation at the same time. This is a legitimate injury.
Okay.
Have no problem.
Maybe our refund policy should incorporate, you know, if it's a result of an injury with this doctor.
Right.
Right, which we can revisit.
I support.
Good. All right, so I'll entertain a motion to refund or make payment to Jamie's subcheck.
Subcheck.
Amount of $40 for being unable to attend the field hockey camp that was held at Morrell Rec due to an injury. So.
Second.
Discussion, roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman Leclerc?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda, or for discussion, is a, we're looking for authorization to make payment to Business Automation Service for their annual maintenance agreement for the building inspection, the building department's computer system. Last year was in the amount of $2,625. This year's amount is $2,840. So we need a resolution to approve that. And I can tell you that for next year, the amount's going to be over $3,000, so it's continuing.
Is the goal that the machine goes over? Is that how that?
It's software. It's software, maintenance support, the ongoing supports and updates. If there's a problem, probably call. It's traditional, feel a little stiff. I think they've been paired up in some other regards on other things they've done.
Yeah, I think a give and take. I know all of mine have gone up over the years as well. But the problem is to switch. I mean, then you're starting from scratch with another software vendor, and that would be very difficult.
You will have the same rules of engagement with another software vendor. They have incremental increases in their cost of labor, so they're being screened for.
And the service agreement would be for the period of October 1st, 2018 through September 30th of 2019.
I'd like to move that. Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClair?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. The next item for discussion is a voucher from TIFCO Industries. Is this the one that has the photocopy signature on it?
Yes.
I'm sorry. We'll come back to that. We'll take out him for it now. So, we have what this entity has done is photocopied on their end a voucher with signature and has used that same signature changing the date for this voucher. And while we have policy for accepting electronic signature, this is a photocopy. So I guess the board would have to authorize accepting that. The board okay with that?
Does this sort of way of doing it give us an exposure or anything? Is it just another way of accessing information?
The entity will not, you know, I offered to have them be provided with blank vouchers, and apparently they don't want to sign it. I don't think there's any exposure on the balance part.
Okay.
But because it's a photocopy signature, we'll need a resolution to accept it.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClair?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. All right, we'll back up to item 3 for discussion, which is the Leland Paper Company. We have vouchers that exceed the $500 threshold that came in. So Rudy's looking for authorization to make three payments. One for the amount of $381.12. The next one, the amount of $172.93. And the final one is for an amount of $316.15. Which totals over $500, so we'll need authorization to make that payment. A resolution.
Yeah. All the.
I would take more of it.
Yep. Motion to approve.
Any discussion?
Real quick, this says need approval to pay until suppliers determine. Is that based on our previous conversation about speaking with Leland and say, hey, listen, you're local, we want to do business with you, but you're local, but you're definitely not coming in least expensive, but can you meet prices because we want to work? Okay, so.
There were three quotes. There were Leland, Deputy Nation, and U.S.
Yeah, right.
U-Line.
Thank you.
He does want to work with us. He does want to try to find other products that he may have that would be less. I had hoped Randy would be able to get me the information on what the paper products were that he quoted from those other companies, but he wasn't able to get that to me before I left. Rudy has given me a copy of what we have from Leland, the products that they sent. So I've just got to go back online to those two companies, and now that I know the product from Leland, I've got to go online and at least price those products and then sit down with Leland. I'm hoping in the next 2 weeks to sit down with Leland.
Good, because they know we want to work with them. I mean,
yes.
Obviously, they
yes,
probably want to visit something, right? People who don't think. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Right, so, okay. Good.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. The next item for discussion is a voucher from Lewis and Greer. I'll need approval to pay them for invoice 26743 in the amount of $23,618.75. This is for our tax preparer case with the Hydro for special counsel and experts. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Final item I have for discussion is a voucher for Taylor Welding Supply Company. The town board, previous meeting, had approved the purchase of the MIG welder. If you recall, we had three quotes, and each of them had a rebate with them. I think it's about $400 for each of them. However, the town has to pay the full amount in order to be reimbursed with the rebate. And at that time, we had only approved $2,150. So we'll have to rescind the motion authorizing payment for $2,150 and move a motion to increase that to $2,550.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
How does the rebate come back?
There'll be a check to the town. It should be in any day.
Okay. Good.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Is that it?
Yes. Except for the waiting for.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a discussion on that. We have to cut
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Any other items for discussion to audit? Then I'll entertain a motion to close the audit meeting.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Thank you. Welcome everyone to tonight's regular town board meeting for August 28th. I apologize for the delay, but we're ready to roll at this time. So with that, we'll do a roll call, Dan.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And with that, we'll have a place to raise the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. First item on the agenda this evening is approval of minutes. We'll take them separately because we have different members of the board in attendance. First one is July 24th, 2018, which is the audit meeting. Are there any changes to the minutes? No. So with that, I'll make a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Abstain. The next set of minutes is for August 14, 2018, which is a regular town board meeting. We did have two members of the board that were not available. Are there any changes to those minutes? I'll entertain a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
No, abstain.
Councilman Noonan?
Abstain.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. The next item is we need, I think, in an email, we have settled on a date for an insurance workshop, and I'd like to formally set that this evening. Is that something important? September 11th.
Yeah, for the 11th.
Yeah, so I believe everybody agreed to September 11th at 6 p.m.
We'll be away. I don't think I was here at the meeting you said it, but I did say we would listen to them.
Okay, you want to reschedule for the...
Well, what does that do with us for timing? Does that make...
Well, we do. I have to present the tentative budget by September 30th.
That's as far as the issue as it gets. Okay.
Totally.
No, it's okay. It's okay because they covered a lot there. Yeah. So.
So that works for everybody else?
Yeah.
All right. Does any other board member have a meeting or a workshop that they'd like to schedule?
Depending on how you want us to approach the Saratoga Prosperity activity that we have in, we're going to move forward with some activity. We have some act items. Is that going to be, you want that through by the committee, or do you want to have a workshop on that? How do you want to put cycles toward those action items we have coming up?
Yeah, I'm finding either way. Probably a workshop would be better. But, you know, if the committee wants to start it, that's fine too. So whatever the board's pleasure.
Or can we do it on the same evening? Well, so the 11th was a town board meeting?
It was. Yes.
I don't know if anybody's schedule allows it, but we can do 5 o'clock that evening. We're already going to be here.
Okay. That won't work.
Oh,
so
you're gone.
Why don't we do this? Why don't I get some dates from them and I'll circulate it and see what works for everybody.
Okay.
The next item on the agenda is we've had a workshop, we've had town board discussions on the Universal Playground. While we had discussions, we didn't take any formal action in regards to the proposal we have with the LA Group to assist us with coming up with three designs. If you recall from the previous board discussions, we thought it would be a good idea to have a low-end cost proposal design, a medium cost proposal, and then a higher-end proposal. I would like the board to entertain or have a discussion on a proposal by the LA Group to accomplish that for us for the benefit of the public. Last time this information was presented, and it remains the same this evening, it was in the amount of $10,000 for that service. We have received donations in an HP account dedicated to the interactive playground, amounting to nearly $60,000. We also have HP funding that's dedicated for capital projects in the REC, so we do have financing for it if the board would like to move forward on the proposal by the LA Group. So I'm looking for your thoughts.
I personally would like to see us move forward. I think it's a great cause, a lot of support, and a lot of community support and involvement. And we need to see how we can move forward in some scale.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we have indicated that we'd like to put forward a 5-year master plan for our rec facilities, and I think this can be part, a key component of that, even though we don't have a formal plan adopted yet. And we can start the ball rolling on this specific project. So I totally support that. And with that, I would entertain a motion to authorize me to engage the services of the LA Group in an amount not to exceed $10,000.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman.
Sorry. Did you have a comment?
Nope.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the request is Water Department request. I'm sorry, on the agenda is Water Department request. Jesse has requested that we purchase some meters and one or two specialty meters as well. Because of some upcoming projects that we'll need them for. We are currently out, and he's suggesting that we purchase, and this is a deal with one of the items from Ferguson Waterworks. We purchased $13,751.76 for meters from which would be distributed across all of our water districts. Currently, the balance for that account is $29,653. I know Jesse mentioned that you'll need additional meters moving forward. I thought we could revisit that as we put the budget together for 2019 fiscal year.
Yeah, we needed 35 of those 5⅜-inch meters to finish the project, and I added 15 to it for whatever we might have to have between now and the end of the year, and then we can get budget time to discuss whatever else. You know, we got 120 new homes coming projected in the next, you know, year, year and a half, so we'll need to accommodate them.
Somebody like to move that?
Motion to approve. Sorry.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Our contract with Queensburg is up at the end of the year for water?
For water.
How do we even have an idea now that we have sewer, or we might have sewer?
Well, we
decide how much water.
I'll be reaching out to the municipality and have a discussion.
Good idea.
And I think I would like to have at least one member of the water committee be a part of those conversations. I'll try to reach out and set up some time where we can discuss that.
Okay. Good.
The next item I have under rec is we have some issues that I think Sandy's here this evening. She would like to discuss at the board level. The first one is in relation to flag football for payment recreation. We need board approval to pay the referees by voucher for 34 games for the period September through November. We will be using two referees per game. The amount would be $15 per game per referee. So she's looking for authority to expend up to $1,020 with it clear that we have not to exceed the amount to be taken in by registration.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Yeah, I know I was concerned that it would be higher than the amount of registrations, but we also have that provide a jersey, and you know, there's more to that than just paying referees, right? And there's more expensive than just paying the referee. So I don't know what exactly the shirt cost is going to be, but
yeah, we believe we have those.
I saw a quote. You used to do this with a company down in Bridge Park, and I thought the t-shirts were in the $4,000 to $5,000 range. So I would like to find out from Cindy why there is a quote from them. I understand both of us. There's a t-shirt here for $20, $10, even $10, and we still have what we were paying in the back a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think it would keep the cost down for parents. That's important too. So.
Okay.
And I don't think it actually will be a problem, but you know, it's $20 per child to play. You know, it's a town provided program. I don't know our total number of registrants, but yeah, it's pretty straightforward if we knew that number.
So, what would you like to table that until we get your answer to your question? Or?
I think it's probably going to be okay. I'm just curious if the numbers, what they were.
If we can approve this amount from Hallware that she recommends, but pending anything done on this, that the contract has ended at which part would be significantly less than they were, I thought it was something like these quality t-shirt.
Would you like to approve a contingent upon the rate not being lower or
not being higher than that, but let's, if we can approve this, I'll see what I can find out tomorrow and see what the
okay.
If it's what, 185?
There was 85 participants last year. So,
can you make that motion?
I'm not sure how to word it, but let me say it. But let me check and maybe Lisa can pull the board.
So we got a motion on the table already for the referees. Do we want to finish that and move to the shirts? Because there are two different motions,
right?
Yeah. So, for
that discussion, any more discussion on the referees?
No.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. So now we move on to the shirts.
Well, I guess I will find out tomorrow. I'm just going to go to Saratoga tomorrow. It doesn't take much to go a little further down the road and find out what the t-shirts would cost from the company we used to deal with. And they always did good service for us, and they had a good turnaround. So I want to know. I'm going to just talk to Sandy first, and I'll let you each know what happened. And if we need to pull the board, the t-shirts are significantly less, then we'll pull the board, and then we're going to just kind of pull them either way. We can do that instead of spending 10 if we can get them for 5. Then. Well, there is no motion, I guess. I'll find out what the cost will be.
It sounds like you want to table this.
I guess I should. And then maybe Lisa can call and do a poll on the board once I get that information. Is that okay? Sorry, I've got
all of it. I don't know what the deadline is, whether this is something that is time sensitive.
I'll find out tomorrow.
Okay, we'll table it for this evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Next item, she's looking for clarification regarding softball tournaments at our Heritage AV Park regarding use of by the tournament participants, whether they would have access to all fields down there, only the quads, or both. Does the board have any feeling one way or the other?
Sure. So with this, there was a concern when Randy was there and the personnel that he had, that it was a struggle to be able to cover not only the quads but also fields 5 and 7. And at that point, he was recommending, based on what he had for personnel, that we don't use 5 and 7 for any tournaments. We've gone back, we've talked to Dave Jones. Dave says, listen, as long as I got people, I'll be happy to cover. And he's basically in agreement to have enough people to cover those. So we are feeling. Feel free to use the fields 5 and 7 as well as the quads.
That's fine. All right. So,
oh, I'm sorry. So with that, There was a couple people that applied for positions at the rec, and we asked Dave to actually interview them, and I have a recommendation from Dave to hire these people, and if possible, I'd like to do a resolution to, in fact, hire these people. So with that said, a resolution to hire James Linehan as a seasonal laborer for the Recreation Department to be compensated at a rate of $12 per hour, and this is to be effective 8/29/18, subject to successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within a two-week period.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Any discussion?
I will be abstaining.
These are nephews of you? So with that, you'll be abstaining. Can I call for a roll call?
Sure. Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
And Supervisor Cousineer is abstaining.
Okay. The second is resolution to hire that Thomas Linehan be hired as a seasonal laborer for the Recreation Department and be compensated at a rate of $12 per hour. This is to be effective 8/29/18, subject to a successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within a two-week period.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Cousineau?
Yes.
Well,
there's more on
there is that. With what she requested, yeah.
You want to cover that, or I can go through it?
Well, no, go ahead. I recognize this, and the other I want to discuss a little bit further.
Okay, so the next item under rec is because we have a part-time rec director, there's a limitation on the number of hours she can work without it running afoul of civil service law. And so she's looking for a direction from the board because the 2018 budget, in her words, is almost maxed out what she should do for when she receives field use requests and she has work hours that exceed the 19.5 hours.
That's not on my paper.
Okay. Well, we'll entertain that.
Okay. Yeah, a good question. I don't know. I guess my thought is we have hours of operation usually. Can't we limit those? You know, does somebody need a response back like 10 minutes? Or can it be put off until the next business day? I guess that's what my thought is. And I'm thinking that, you know, some people might be looking for that immediate response. But I don't think it's necessary.
Okay. Well, I mean, the next, I don't think they need to respond immediately, but I don't know if the next business day will solve the problem because, you know, it depends on what day of the week that happens. She's not going to have hours the next day if she's already maxed out of hours. So.
No, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But with that, I think that some of what she's doing is responding and, you know, responding after 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, and I'm thinking. And granted, I don't know for sure, but I suspect that that's what's going on, and that I think that she feels she needs to respond to every phone call, text, or email that she gets almost immediately.
Yeah. A thought to consider is maybe we ask her to give us present to us a proposed schedule, evenly spread her hours out across the week based on her expected workflow, so that we know we don't come into no hours at the end of the week, and then, you know, she can always respond to on the next business day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need her working 24/7. You know, the job's not supposed to be all consuming. So, I would suggest maybe we ask for a schedule that comes up to those set number of hours. Make sure that it gives her the time to do the job we're asking her to do, and we won't. And stuff will have to wait till the next day. I mean, if it's a critical thing, one of the board members are always available. I know I am, and you are. So we can, as a board member, can handle any critical situation.
And, you know, my office is available at any time. Okay, I will relay that.
No, I was just thinking about the beach.
Okay.
But that's closing down for the season as well.
I think we took on, she took on a lot of extra hours because the rec director position that was at Rec Park had traditionally done the field scheduling. He had done that, so Sandy had a 19-hour a week job that sometimes she was stretched at, and then she took on what he did. So I think the teaching time, maybe we should consider someone at town hall part-time that just does field scheduling and takes care of that, that's here, that she's not busy with that all winter, but I think at budgetary time, we're not going to give that back to the person that's running Rec Park, which I think right now that wouldn't work anyways. But I think she's taken on extra work, so that's where we picked up even more hours than
before.
And I think to kind of go along with Councilwoman Leclerc says, this is also part of, I think, the growing pains that we're having as we're starting to uncover what's actually going on down at Rec Park, who's in our fields, and how to keep it. Understanding and control, I guess, from town board or from this town hall perspective. So she's almost being required at this point to do more because we're uncovering more. You know, for the longest time, it's been, for lack of a better term, a bit of a free for all down there, and we're realizing that and we're trying to take more control of that. So to support Councilwoman Leclerc, maybe we do have a bunch of time to figure out a way to spread that out a little bit more than another person.
All right. I'll reach out to her in the morning. Next item I have under, also under the Recreation Department, is Stacy Seymour is looking for authority to operate a 5K similar to the color run we just did at Little Red Park. And we have a park use request application. I think you had a question on that, Leanne, right? Is that why?
Just that they're going to be using the park. She was looking for board approval.
Okay, do we usually have to do board?
For something large like that, when they're using the fields and things like that.
And I think that there may have been some tournaments going on at the time.
There is a tournament scheduled on that same weekend.
Okay, so with that knowledge, what's the board?
And it's a tournament that's requested. Both quad and fields 5 and 7.
And what is the date of that?
October 7th. So from 7 to 12 or 1 p.m. It's a May.
I guess the question is how much of the staff are needed to do that? I know they help Sandy when she does the coloring. Are they expecting the staff to just set up and put up signs and take down signs and do something, or are they finding it self-sufficient? If they're self-sufficient, it might not be such a problem, but if they're requesting staff assistance, they may be pretty busy with all of this.
I don't know if that's going to require staff.
Yeah, I'm not so sure either. You said this was October 7th, though?
This is the date on there.
Okay.
It's a Saturday.
So I got it as a Sunday. October 7th is a Sunday.
It's a Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, with most tournaments, when I think about softball tournaments, they usually, if it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday is usually the biggest day. And then Sunday is playoff days. And it's very possible that even like fields 5 and 7 may or may not be utilized on those days. But with that said, I would think that both the parks big enough that they should be able to do something down there.
Yeah, I'd suggest we get some clarification on what their expectations are on town resources and then speak with Mr. Jones and make sure his staffing can accommodate it. And I don't have a problem. That said, I don't have a problem.
So you want to offer a motion that upon review of those two topics, approve it?
Well, we normally have a resolution for field use requests. I don't think they really need one. That's why they have to follow it. We can do it if you want.
No, that's fine. The board given the green light as long as we have staffing and there's a level of expectation that we can meet.
Yeah. Okay, I think it's more or less a coordination.
Okay.
Between a couple of entities.
Do that.
Okay.
item under rec is rec director is looking for clarification regarding folks or individuals doing lessons at our rec fields along the lines of pitching, hitting, and fielding, whether or not town board wants to adhere to policy that the proper paperwork and payment is in place prior to allowing them to use the field.
Discussion?
Yes.
Please.
Well, I know our thoughts are similar. I'll let you share yours. I've never been not a fan of putting field correct personnel in a position to have to confront somebody. So I want to make sure we don't create a situation where we're asking employees to confront some small group of individuals practicing on the fields that weren't being used. I also don't think that we necessarily should be charging a coach who brings out a couple kids to do a little bit of practice on a field that's not being used. I am supportive, as we made a ruling or passed a motion on last time, if it's an organized event, team practicing, using our fields, which we've raised in line, then they should bet. So that would be my thoughts or positions.
Okay. Along those lines, usually for practice, we don't rake in line. It's a matter of...
Oh, rake, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We rake once a day.
Yeah, okay. But with that said, somebody who wants to guarantee the use of the field, I'm all for them renting the field, and we reserve it for them. And they have something that says, this is my field to use at a certain time. Somebody that, if those fields are open and that parent or that person, wants to go down and use a field and it's open, by all means use it. But if that person that shows up that's rented the field, I have this field reserved, that other person would be expected to leave. And that's kind of what my feeling is. I don't want the rec director, I don't want the personnel down there saying, you got to leave. Because I think the park should be open to people. Mm-hmm. But that if a team wants to guarantee use of the fields, they should pay for that reservation. And that's what my feeling is on it. So as far as the wording goes, I'm not keen on this clarification that's regarding anyone doing lessons, whether it be pitching, hitting, or fielding. I am in agreement that paperwork and payment must occur prior to use of the field as far as reservations go. But to stipulate that, you got, whether it's a parent, a coach, or a kid, that, one or two kids going down there to throw the ball or to work on a particular aspect of their play, I don't think they need to collect money if there's an open field. And I think that they would be, if somebody has that reservation, they would have something to be able to say, I have this field, you're going to have to move. And I think that's the way it should work.
Do we hang signs that's field reserved from this time to this time?
Well, there's a whiteboard down there right now with either Sandy or someone is, marking it up to show that the field's reserved at a certain time for a certain person. So with that, anybody who might show up down there at the quads, which is the primary issue here, that they would understand that somebody's actually got those fields reserved. And I think that the personnel at the park are putting out reserved signs for those fields if they're, in fact, reserved for the day.
Thank you. Just interject a couple more comments. So, it can get into a bit of a slippery slope, right, if we're not clear on the wording, because there's a distinct difference between a coach or a parent and a few kids,
mm-hmm.
as compared to an entire team practicing. And so to say that if the field's open and anybody can use it, we're going to move away from what we passed a resolution on last time. So organized entity, full team practicing, they should be paying for field, would be my position. I'll give you an example of a situation that came up for the board just to kind of frame why she's asking this. There's someone down there the other day running a hitting clinic, charging fees to groups of people that were coming to pay this person, and this person that was running this event for profit on one of the fields, field not being used, didn't have the field reserved. how do we, you know, so there's some gray area here that just mm-hmm. need to make sure we're clear on the wording is going to matter.
Right, and I talked to Sandy today about the same thing, and she explained that exact scenario to me. So, you know, essentially we do have the town subsidizing someone else's income, if you will, that way, or their fees, or their clinic, or whatever it is, because providing the fields for someone else's profit. Are we okay with that? Does it matter? I mean, how many people came to that? She didn't tell me how many people came to that hitting clinic, though. Was it just a handful? Was it 8, 10? I think that's different. That's an organized group. That's not a hate. That's a pickup game down at the rec. That's an organized group. And if you were able to organize enough people for hitting clinic, you're able to come to the town and ask for proper permission.
My position, and it hasn't changed, would be that if there's an individual down there that has participants who have made a payment to receive instruction anywhere along the way, that person should be paying for the use of the field. If they have not, and you show up and the field is available, and you want to play a pickup game, or you want to play ball with your kids, should be free.
What constitutes taking payment for
$1 exchange?
No, that's not what I mean. I'm sorry, I'm like, so as a father of a child who plays ball, I'm thinking that my payments go towards the cost associated with the travel team, not necessarily for the coaching that goes along with it. The coaching, these are, in my opinion, these are volunteer coaches. So they're not really taking money for their time. They're taking money to make sure that the costs associated with field rental, umpires, and maybe uniforms are covered. So does that constitute that person, that coach that's volunteering his time, taking money from the players' families? Does that meet your requirement for what you're saying?
They're there because the kids are there because they made a payment to somebody and they wouldn't be practicing otherwise except to play on that team. See, the problem is, as Council Member Mantasso indicated, there's a slippery slope here. I have learned over the years making policy, the more black and white it is, the easier it is to enforce and the less upset.
Okay.
And so I think if you, as part of the rubric, use the language of payment having been made to participate at that sport, that makes it pretty simple.
Okay. So let me turn this a little bit. I think about soccer and the parents volunteer for the soccer program, but we have somebody who kind of organizes and runs the soccer program for the town. That parent who has volunteered their time to coach the team now takes their own child down to kick the ball around at the park. Are they expected to reserve the field for that usage? Because that is a volunteer coach, and their child or that family is paid for that child to play soccer. Now, does that make that parent your criteria? Does it make your criteria?
Well, my question would be, if it's a town and rural program, is a town and rural program charging itself to use a field?
Well, no. Obviously, no. I mean, we sell taxes, but, I mean, it's... so then the situation comes into play where within that, I'm trying to put this into perspective as far as this goes. As I lost it now.
Go ahead. If I may just add, I think, John, if you want to go down with your child or friend and bet practice, or any parent, but then anything, doesn't matter what they're on, that's different than if you go down as the team. If you want you or your and your children, two or three times, want to go play on a field that's open, I think that's fine. As soon as it's a, we're going to go down because we have to get this practice in for our team, I think that's different. It's a team as opposed
well,
to just
your... I understand right. What you're saying, but what I'm saying is there was a situation recently where my daughter's coach, my daughter, and one other player went down to the park, and they were on a field, and basically were told, you got to pay to use that field. It was the three people, and it was a matter of there wasn't any, so this coach is trying to work with his daughter, and my daughter happened to be there because she was... It's a pitcher and a catcher. You need to be practicing your pitching.
No, I can see where that would be an eyebrow.
So, with that said, and there's open fields.
I think that falls under the practicing. And if I show up with a thing that says, hey, I reserved this field, then they would leave.
They had no problem moving once they realized that.
Yeah.
But move to another field, now, okay, you got to pay for your select field.
Why?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Does anybody know the wording in what we're looking at as a board here, where this quarter is saying anyone doing lessons, whether it be pitching, hitting, or fielding? Is this quoted from something, some other document, or is this? That's not our hand, just in policy. If we're looking for wording, and right now is the form to come up with the final wording, but I think we should put a policy that says that organized, some sort of organized structured event using the fields needs to fill out a form. We have liability reasons and insurance reasons. And so there's a couple of reasons why we ask to go through the process. Well, I'm not a fan of a parent taking his, whether the parent's a coach or not, taking his or her file down in the field, and the field's open, having the bet. I said that earlier, I still stand on that position. That's my opinion.
Why don't we ask our rec director to provide us with language for us to review, and we can review it in greater detail in the board meeting.
Well, I believe this came from her.
I know, but I don't believe that is not sufficient language that addresses the issues that were just raised this evening.
Right.
So okay. I don't think that.
Okay.
My suggestion.
I think we can close that down with the right word.
Okay.
That work?
Okay. So she's not getting clarification. But she can provide us with what she'd like to see, and we can review it moving forward. All right, so we'll move on.
We just added more hours to her week.
Has to do that within the time frame there's a lot of
work. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Does anybody else have anything under recreation planning? Great. We'll move on to item number 6, which is an issue that the town clerk brought to my attention. It's in relation to penalties as a result of a local law that we adopted this year in March, and some issues have arisen. I would like the clerk to explain that, but I'm also going to refer to the Water Committee for suggestions before we take action. So it's just if you want to review why this came about, Lane, and for board members, that would be great.
Sure. The town board passed a local law not too long ago, and at the time they passed the local law, we didn't have anything but a 10% penalty for past due water bills after 30 days. With the local law, they added a 1.5% penalty for every 30 days after the initial 30 days. The problem that we're running into is that each month we have to assess that 1.5% penalty. So what it's leaving us with is when we send out bills, we can't put a penalty amount on the bill letting people know what would be due, because if they pay after the 60 days, now that amount has changed. So we're left with having to have a bill with just the amount due, no penalty amounts. And the only thing we can put on the bill is a statement saying the penalties are 10% for the first 30 days and 1.5% for each month thereafter, and to please call us if they're looking for an amount due. So that's a little bit of a hitch with the billing, because we have people that are paying the wrong amounts, and we're having to send it back. We're spending more money on postage and time sending things back, telling people you still owe this than what we're bringing in for a penalty. The other issue that I'm having right now is that I have bills that have to go out September 1st for the water bills, and I can't get anything ready, I can't process anything until I post the penalties. If I send them out before I post penalties, then the day after the bills go out, there's going to be an additional charge due, and all of those people that are paying their bills would pay the wrong amount. So it's a little bit of a hitch having this 1.5% penalty. I would prefer, if it were up to me, to see if there were a way to just eliminate that 1.5%. It would make things run a lot more smoothly.
A real quick question. So how does that stop? Does it do it when you get a bill and it says, you know, pay it 9 times, so it's 0 to 60 and 60 to 90? Is that different software? Is that how that is?
I have no idea. I don't know how other places do it. I know the same thing with National Grid.
Is that what we kind of thought this was going to be like? Is that not something that our software calculates or programs?
The software company that we have for our water billing program, you have to do everything manually. Every 30 days, I have to go in and tell it to impose a 1.5% penalty. I don't know how other places, if you don't pay and there's an amount due, you can't. I don't know how you're supposed to tell people what's due with this 1.5% when you have to keep adding it on each month. So we're getting ready to bill in September, and we're going to have 6 months worth of, you know, 1.5%, 1.5% that will show up on this bill. But it's not something randomly that I can put out there on my bill and say, okay, if you pay it this month, here's what's due. If you pay it next month, here's what's due. If you pay it 2 months from now, here's what's due. I can't do that. I have no capability to do that on the bill. So it's becoming difficult.
You spoke with the software vendor about ways other towns maybe have.
I did, and their only option was to leave the whole entire penalty off the bill and just leave it blank with the amount due, and then to call the office for an amount due if it's after 30 days.
And if they pay it short minus the fees, because they paid late, then you'd have to bill them for the balance?
We usually send them a notice telling them you paid it late and here's what your balance will be the next time you get a bill. But that costs postage to send a receipt back to them saying you still owe this, you know, because most of the 1.5% penalties are much less than what the cost of postage is, plus the paper and the envelope.
Yeah, we don't want to give back the whole intent of collecting the revenue.
I'm just kind of throwing that out there.
Thanks for explaining that. I think we'll refer it to the Water Committee, maybe review it in greater detail, work with Leanne for either a recommendation to change in policy or to make a recommendation to the board, and then we'll take it up possibly at our next board meeting.
Okay. When's your next billing?
It's supposed to go out September 1st, so what I'll have to do is crunch Friday morning and run my penalties, because I can legally do the 30-day penalty August 31st in the morning, and then quick do everything, print my bills, put everything together, try to get them stuffed. We have an insert that has to go with them, so it's going to be tough to try to get that done for Friday.
Okay. We'll move on quickly.
Okay. Thanks, Leanne.
Yep.
Next item on the agenda is item number 7, and it is Highway Department requests. We have a request from our Highway Superintendent. He'd like to spend $6,500 for the purchase of winter sand from the town of Boston Highway Department. Paul, you're presuming the weather's going to break. And we have winter sand quotes from the town of Boston Highway Department at $3 per yard. Ellsworth and Son Excavating did not submit a quote, even though we reached out to them. Charles Friedman Excavating quoted $5 per ton, and Cranesville Aggregate quoted $6.48 per ton. In this year's budget, in account DB 5142.491, we currently have a balance of $10,000 as of August 20th. That's with your department hauling?
Yes.
And so what's that cost?
Per yard.
Excuse me? What's that cost per yard?
It comes up to about $1.05.
And it's still more cost effective than going locally? Closer to. The board's pleasure.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is in relation to fire expenditures for the town. Rudy has obtained three quotes for fire extinguishers. First one's from New York Fire and Security in the amount of $1,426.45. The next vendor is B-Line Equipment in the amount of $1,487.43. And American Safety Products did not respond. And this is for inspection, recharge, replacing, or six-year maintenance on 75 of our fire extinguishers on town property. It also includes the same at the Rec Snack Bar for the K-type extinguisher system. So my suggestion would be to go with the New York Fire and Safety.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item is I have received requests from, and I do receive them from time to time, from residents inquiring about expanding the hours of our transfer station. I think it's a great idea. I wanted to do it as soon as possible. However, I had our principal account clerk work the numbers, and it probably wouldn't work for this year to keep us in the black. So my suggestion is to have the board review it at the time, see if we can work in a structure where we can expand those hours. Because I've had frustrating residents who have loaded up their car at the transfer station on a nice hot day, arrive down there to only find the case locked.
Mm-hmm. Including the weekend.
Including.
Yes, definitely. Huge fan of supporting that.
Okay. I am too. I've been one of those residents.
And the next item on the agenda, item 10, is in relation to the Town Borough Mobile Home Park permits. I don't know if the board's aware that we have a requirement that the mobile home parks in our community be inspected by the building department annually, and there's a fee associated with that. And in doing that inspection, the town building inspector is charged with reviewing five items in these parks. The condition of the roads, he must determine whether they pass fail. Review the septic systems, whether they pass fail, whether electric meter pans in those parks are numbered, and review the refuse storage system, whether it's a dumpster dumpster or containers. And finally, he has to verify that the homes are numbered. This issue came to my attention the most recently by Ms. Rogge, who is here in the audience this evening. Other boards have been made aware of the issue from time to time. What is most concerning to me is that I have learned that we're not collecting payment from all our mobile home parks, as we haven't for a year or two, which is my number one concern. My second concern is the actual inspection that's taking place. I am very concerned that we have a town employee that is, quote, inspecting a septic system, and that inspection, we have no grounds for what's being inspected. I wonder if the town has liability for signing off on this sheet, number one. Number two, what are we looking at for condition of roads? Pass, fail. What is a pass? What is a fail? There's no rubric or standard for inspection. And also, I have a request from Ms. Rogie as to, you know, why does the town do away with this? Because it's a $5 for each part, and it's not happening in other communities that surround the town in a row. So I told him I would bring it to the board for discussion. I don't know if Ms. Rogie would like to add a comment to that for the board's
evening
information.
So when you add $5 a lot, it comes up to $1,855. I don't have a problem paying for a service, but what service am I getting for $1,855? I don't believe you're inspecting motels. I don't believe you're inspecting restaurants. I don't believe you're inspecting the RV parks or apartment complexes. So why would they come? I believe this goes back to the 70s when we didn't need building permits. So they came in once a year and said, oh, you put a new house in and you got the number on it and the septic system is passed and everything. You know? Well, now we need a building permit for everything that we do. No problem. We pay for that. Building inspector comes over, inspects it, gives us a CO. We have electrical inspections. We have the health department. We have state regulations we have to follow. This is just one more burden and one more cost that's just that is just more than we can afford at this point. So I don't see it go away. I thought about it and said, okay, and I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard, but I am a Class A community. The town never gets a problem, and when they do, we have had a couple complaints. The building inspector came over. I happened to see him driving the community and went, what's going on? I met him at the house, and he said, I got a complaint. We walked in. Within 10 minutes after I found out what the complaint was, he realized that the lady never called us, and my guys were there fixing the problem. That's me. I realized from 35 years of history that other communities go, I'm not going to fix it. I'm not going to take care of it. So I said, okay, so how can we get the town, because I'm not telling you the number, it's $4,000 you collect from all mobile home communities if you collect it. I pay my bills on time when I'm reminded. So the town sends me a bill. Why couldn't we enforce rules or laws by saying, we got a complaint, now you need a building inspection, you need a permit, charge for those fees. If it's not done, then you have a fine situation. And clean up the other communities that are dragging us down. You know, manufactured housing is an affordable way to live. It's a very nice way to live. If, and I hate this word, landlords, take care of the property. I take care of mine. I want my kids to inherit. Other people don't care. They just want the cash every month and walk away. So I wish the board would consider figuring another way. Permits have been, I've paid for mine this year. I'd like to see it go away before the next year comes. And come up with some other ideas on how to take care of the problems that I don't have. Thank you for your time.
Makes a lot of sense.
So my suggestion would be we could deal with it in one of two ways. We could have a workshop on it, or we can review the issue with the information I have before you and have a discussion at the next board meeting. It's totally up to the board. Or we can review it as we go through the budget process, because obviously that's going to impact the town's budget for the building department. So whatever the board would like to do.
So at some point, we're also going to be discussing our zoning code, right? And we're going to be making amendments and additions and subtractions to that. I don't see why it's not something that we couldn't work in there with particular conditions of plot, plan, setbacks, septic locations, mobile home size, all that stuff that's listed in here. that's in code, and then at some point, you know, more of a code enforcement type of a way to handle violations that way. I mean, it's just a thought, because, you know, he's a classic community, doesn't have a lot of problems, but we know there's one that has, we've heard of in the past, it's got sewage that is, you know, making its way to the surface, it's not being taken care of, and that's something that we should be able to take care of from our end. Whether you charge someone $5 a lot or nothing, we still got to fix that problem. Maybe it's something we can do through some amendments or changes to our code as that process happens.
This solution seems more like a fair solution. You haven't been in this park, right into this park. It's beautiful. Everything is pristine. Takes care of everything. I have friends that live there, and they like it there. They say sometimes they'll say that your light bulb is out or 80 minutes if you're on. But when you look around and see that it's nice, that if I get too old to be in my home, I'd rather be in this park than it would be in the park building. It's beautiful. He does a wonderful job. Why charge him when there's people that are negligent? This doesn't seem to help in that other park that was having problems, that wasn't doing what they should have been doing. Perhaps he's suggesting that we get away.
And the other option, which I discussed with Mr. Rogers in my office, is, you know, we could look at a sliding scale, because, you know, for a smaller mobile home park, it's not as big a hit as someone who has a significant number of lots. Question for council, would this require a local law change?
Absolutely. I can sit here and I can quiet. But the mobile home law is not in your zoning code. It's separate. Not to say it couldn't be placed in the zoning code, but it's separate and independent. There are specific laws in New York State with respect specifically to mobile homes. So I think what we would want to do, and Mr. Rowe is right, the law that the town of Rowe is using was adopted in 1973. So it's a little bit antiquated. It's a little bit older than me. But what you might want to do is look at the law that we have and look at some of the laws in the surrounding communities and talk to some of the different supervisors and see how they deal with it. But I also would want the building department's input to see what they do. Your inspection list that you just marked off, it's not in the law anywhere. So I don't know where that list was created.
Okay. Well, the thing that concerned me most is that the department did not realize that they're supposed to be inspected.
Right.
And that's the problem. So,
any lack of uniform enforcement problem?
Absolutely. So my suggestion would be, due to the fact that it is a local law, I would suggest council look at the local law, maybe provide a read to the board members, and we'll go from there.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on, need to refer to the law president, the prophet in the town hall.
Next item on the agenda I have is sewer, and as everyone here in this room and probably most of the residents in our community know now, the sewer referendum passed last evening, 32-29, and my comment on that is that I was absolutely thrilled to see that we have over 78% of the individuals who were eligible to vote in that referendum come out to vote. And so they're to be commended in doing that. I've said in numerous interviews that there isn't a finer form of developing policy and more democratic process than turning it, placing it directly in the hands of the people that would have to pay for it. And the board is to be commended for making that decision early and taking it out of our hands. And I just want to, you know, thank everyone who came out to vote. This will have an incredible benefit to our community, not only for the landowners in the, I'm used to saying proposed district, I guess it is established now.
Not yet. Almost.
That's
comptroller.
Oh, comptroller approval, which I believe we'll be addressing this evening
yes.
for the referendum. And not only will landowners benefit from the creation of the sewer district, it's going to have an incredible impact on our community as a whole. We have been longing for the final piece of our infrastructure in our community and our commercial corridor, and this will set us on the path to not only doing great things for and providing great opportunities for the landowners, but will directly benefit all the residents of our town as we get smart commercial development in our Route 9 corridor. And just an exciting time for the town of Monroe, and I'm just thrilled to be a part of it with this board. So with that, we do need to take care of some final business as a result of successful approval of the referendum, and I believe that there's board members have a resolution that needs to be adopted this evening. I believe the clerk has a copy of that.
I do.
So I'll ask the clerk to read it in its entirety this evening.
Resolution, Town Board, Town of Monroe. Whereas the Town Board of the Town of Monroe is considering the establishment of Extension Number 5 of Sewer District Number 1 within the Town of Monroe, as described in the map plan and report that has been prepared for Extension Number 5 of Sewer District Number 1, and which has been filed with the Town Clerk of the Town of Monroe in accordance with the requirements of the Town Law. And whereas such map plan and report was prepared by LaBerge Group, competent engineers, duly licensed by the State of New York, showing the boundaries of the proposed district, general plan of the district, the improvements to be made to the district, and a report showing the cost thereof. And whereas an order was adopted by the Town Board of the Town of Monroe on June 12, 2018, reciting the filing of the map, the improvements proposed, the estimated expense thereof, the proposed method of financing, the fact that the map plan and report are on file in the Town Clerk's office for public inspection, and for other matters required by law to be stated. And whereas the order set June 26, 2018 at 8 p.m. at the Monroe Town Complex, 351 Reynolds Road, Monroe, New York, as the date, time, and place of the public hearing to consider the map plan and report and to hear all persons interested in the subject and to take action as required and authorized by law. And whereas a public hearing on the establishment of Extension Number 5 of Sewer District Number 1 was duly conducted by the Town Board on June 26, 2018 at 8 p.m. at the Monroe Town Complex. And whereas the notice of public hearing was published, posted, and filed as required by law and is otherwise sufficient. And whereas a mandatory referendum was voted on by the property owners of Extension Number 5 on August 27, 2018, at which referendum the eligible voters of Extension Number 5 of Sewer District Number 1 approved the establishment of the aforesaid sewer district extension. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the permission of the Office of the State Comptroller is required with respect to the creation of Extension 5 of Sewer District Number 1, and be it further resolved that the Town Supervisor of the Town of Monroe be authorized to sign the Town of Monroe's application to the Office of the State Comptroller for Extension Number 5 of Sewer District Number 1, pursuant to Section 209F of the Town Law and the Part 85 Regulations of the Office of the State Comptroller, and be it further resolved that duplicate copies of the aforesaid application be filed with the Office of the State Comptroller.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And before I get to the privilege of the floor for the public, does any board member have any town issues they'd like to discuss?
I don't have an issue, but I've been here with the supervisor when we first started several years ago trying to get sewer. We relied heavily on our engineers to do a lot of what needed to be done, and I think our engineers have done a wonderful job this time. But I also know from being here and watching what happens and having discussions that you led the charge. You made sure everyone was informed and understood. You went above and beyond anything that has happened before. And as much as we were all in support of it, and we all helped you when there were times that you needed help, that without you, I fully believe Sewer would have never happened in the town. That we tried, and it wasn't for lack of wanting, that you did a wonderful job, and I thank you. I want you to get it. I miss doing that. Thank you. Thank you for making it happen.
Well, thank you for your kind words. It truly was a team effort, and we had a lot of good people that were involved.
Thanks for being here.
I would be echoing what Councilwoman McClaire just said. I know I said it to you directly, but I'll just say it again publicly without you driving it forward. I know that it was a team effort from all the board. Public people participated very aggressively. We had support from local chamber of commerce and Michael Little. It was just a really, really exciting time to see democracy work. You were a big driving factor in that. So, as mentioned already, thank you.
Thank you.
And I guess I go with the hats off to the supervisor for putting the best foot forward on this one and it's happened. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you. So, with that, any other town business before we open up the public? All right, with that, we're item 12 on the agenda, which is the privilege of the floor. Would anybody like to address the board? Mr. Yannis.
I'll be quick. I just have one brief question. I might have missed it, and I sometimes miss things, I admit to it. Has the town board passed the comprehensive plan yet?
It has not. I believe that the planning board has signed off on it with their recommendation in view of the fact that we have the final piece of the puzzle about to come into play. This board will be looking at that one more time.
Okay.
But we right. Our intention is to get that adopted.
Good. It's his last October and stuff. Thank you. Please get it passed in the zoning.
Thank you. Ms. Martin.
Just wanted to say regarding the sewers that I'm really glad that the resolution passed, and I wanted to thank the voters who came and voted for the supporters who supported the sewers the whole entire time. I really think if the vote was open up to the whole town, it would have been a total landslide, and I'm really impressed that so many voters came out. I know about 5 years ago, we were about -7, so to get up to +3 in that short period of time. I know you did a lot to accommodate the public. You really accommodated a lot of people when they had issues with it, taking people off it so that they couldn't afford it, so I appreciate that. When I got home last night, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and she asked me what the sewer boat meant. And I said to her, in 5 years, you'll be graduating from high school, and exit 17 is going to look totally different than it does today. You're going to be able to shop there and buy possibly an outfit for graduation. She can't get anything from back-to-school shopping right now in the town. You can get sneakers. You can get clothes. Hopefully, this will really open up opportunities. The health center is going to be expanding, so she'll go to the doctors here. We won't have to be traveling up and down Route 9, going to Queensbury and then to Saratoga to do things. So I really appreciate it. I think this is really exciting for morale. And Todd, I do know that you worked really hard on it, and that totally was recognized. And I also just want to say a special mention to the group that I worked with. There are some really dedicated landowners that have put the community first, and they really, supported me, and the pros were people, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yes.
I'm Liz Mark, and I live on Portsmouth Road, and I'm here because I read in CoStar you guys, the Board of Health, that you dissolved that, so you now the receptive system problems, concerns, the town hall.
So our building inspector can review that.
Yeah, I've tried to work with the building inspector. I've had a lot of issues. So I just wanted to kind of show you what I'm talking about. I have the timeline and this has been a 2.5-year battle. We live at 250 Portsville Road, which is across the street from 249. Way back April 11th, 2016, you can see the truck, the septic is coming into the property. April 27th, you see the RV there, the septic's gone in, RV's hooked up to it. There's no permit at this point. July 12th, in there, you can see in the complaint which I attached, the RV is hooked to it. They asked them, please remove it. It's not until 4.5 months later, 8/30/16, that the test pit was dug and her test performed. I have actually that information here. And it wasn't until this summer that we received this information. This is where the building inspector said that letter was fine for them, that it showed, you know, it was up to code. But we live in an area that's got a very high water table. If you dig down, and the property across the street is exactly the same. You hit water. I have pictures of that, too, here. If you look at the test pit information, it says they dug down 11 feet, hit no water, no modeling, no roots. I find that very hard to believe. So, November 6th, 2016, we came to the town board. Some of you were here. And it was decided, even though that letter was submitted, this system needed to be dug up and inspected because we seriously don't think it was installed properly. We don't think there are leach fields. We don't think all those things are there. You can see from the minutes, they said, let's go ahead and do it. There was an email, Matt Dremler's, you know, saying, I will go down and do it. And we kind of, at that point, just gave up, you know, because he's paying this letter, it's good enough. I called him August 22nd, asked him, what exactly was your inspection? And he told me, we went to the site, he and Jim Martin. Bob Shaw pointed to where the line came out of the building, pointed to where the tank was. I said, was anything ever dug up? Was anything ever looked at? No. No laterals were looked at, no distribution box. And so we're just really upset with what's gone on here. We have a lot of concerns because this hasn't been done. First of all, our property is downhill from his. So anything is going to run down to us. It, like I said, a very high water table. Recently, we just had to dig a hole. You can see, I don't know if you can see the number. It's 4 feet. We're hitting water. The people right next to him, the Gaglianos, and their septic is just feet from his, recently had to install a system. It was, they had to install a raised system because of all the problems there. If you look at the last page, you can see his system is
just so you know, so there's a 3-minute time limit, but okay. I'm going to let you continue a little bit more. I'm well versed in.
I'm almost done. So you can see here, the building, the septic was placed behind the building. This is protected freshwater land, and where they put the system was definitely swamp. So I don't understand how they go down 11 feet in the swamp and not get water. So what we're here today is just to ask you, please, as the town board, we know it is your non-responsibility, I guess we no longer have a board of health. We would like this system to be dug up and inspected just to ensure that it was installed properly and it's working properly. It affects our health, it affects our water, we have a pond, and we just want to stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other member of the public like to speak?
I'd like to thank you for getting the sewer to a vote, getting it passed. There was a lot of us that, and I can't take credit, I was on vacation, but there was a lot of people that helped. But the one thing that I'm really embarrassed, because I live in a different town even though all my businesses are here, our past supervisors that were so dead against me, and I guess because I'm not a politician, I don't understand why they wouldn't turn around and help us and go, wait a minute, it's too costly, it's too costly, it's too costly. That's a number. If we don't do this, where's the town going to be in 5 years? I know where it started 30 years ago because I'm still here. And nothing's happened on this quarter. So I'm glad the sewer's going to come. And I am, by the way, the highest sewer taxpayer in the town of Monroe. Thank you. But I also know what it's going to help and do. Because I look at Exit 18. And I see what Queensbury did. We're going to have a huge battle fighting Exit 18 to get those businesses or new businesses to come here. I would like to see the past supervisors turn around and go, wait a minute, did they look at this? Because here's another place that we could get some more money to bring the cost down. Did they look at that to help bring the cost down? I found it just very hard to understand why they would fight against it so hard. And then somebody said to me, well, because they couldn't get it passed on their watch, so they don't want the next one. They're residents of the town to grow. They're taxpayers here. Why wouldn't you want the town to grow? It just drives me absolutely nuts. Thank you for doing it. Let's see if it goes.
Thank you. Anyone else? With that, I've got a few supervisors' items, and one of them is something that I'm only the board very much interested in. I think the public will be too. I received word today from Senator Marchione that she has earmarked $200,000 for repair of the new highway garage roof. And so we will work diligently to get that paperwork filed because having worked in the Senate, I know that that money is not guaranteed until we're under contract. So that's probably my next responsibility to make that happen ASAP. So I want to publicly thank Senator Marchione for her generosity and her concern for not only the issues that we're dealing with here in the town of Moreau, but for helping our residents. So thank you to Senator for that.
Good week and good news.
Yes, you know, I'm not going to be able to keep this pace up, though, so.
Could you set the clock for him?
The next item I have on the supervisor's items is I received a call from a resident in our community to commend the job that the staff is doing at the transfer station. I want to let us know that they were very friendly, very helpful, and they looked at the sign down there where that we have posted that says if you're not happy with the service that you receive, the left town hall know. And so she took it upon herself to let us know that staff is doing a very good job. So I wanted to recognize them. Council member Van Tassel and myself met today with a representative of one of the girls' softball teams that had some issues regarding the town's refund policy for deposits and the rubric that we have concerning preference for field usage. We'll probably be passing those concerns. I know we'll be passing those concerns on to members of the rec committee for input to see if that's something that we need to address further down the road. So I'll be getting information out to board members for that.
Thank you.
And the last item I have under supervisors' items is we had our first formal negotiating meeting. Council member Van Tassel and myself with representatives of the bargaining unit for CSEA at the highway department. It was a good first meeting. They have made requests of the town, which we will discuss in executive session this evening. I'll bring the board up to speed on what transpired. And With that, I'll move on to committee reports. Are there any committee reports that
Just like at the RAC this past weekend, there was somebody in there.
Oh, right.
Right. Four-wheeler, motorcycles,
right.
Some of the ball fields. There was a little bit of damage, not significant, but it, somebody got in there overnight. It was reported to the Sheriff's Department to follow up with and hopefully locate suspects and address it with them.
And it's very unfortunate. I received a call about 7 o'clock that morning that it had happened. And, you know, our staff works really hard down there, and our facilities are probably looking the best that they've looked in a long time down there. So to have somebody go in and do this is very disappointing. And, you know, hopefully we can curb that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other committee reports?
Yeah, just an update for the board. Last meeting I updated those present that we do need to take action on moving forward with implementing a town policy around sexual harassment. And we also have to implement a training program. At that point in time, when I spoke last week, council was going to go look into the state's final decision on what interactive meant, and I had feedback from council, and since then the state has actually released their written determination on that. So we now have the criteria around the training, but we'll need to tackle at the next meeting the proposed sexual harassment policy, because we need to have that, well, we should tackle it soon, but we need to be implemented by October 9th on that. I'll draft up from the form that we already have proposed language and review it before the meeting, and then we can discuss it hopefully.
Great.
Well,
thanks. Great work on that.
Thank you.
Any other committee reports? Mm-hmm. Council have any other open
questions? No.
With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to executive session to provide an update on CSCA negotiations.
Roll
call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Gina has a motion.
You also
have ready?
Yep.
I entertain a motion to come out of executive session and indicate no action is taken in executive session.
So moved.
Yes, sir.
And with that, I'll entertain a motion to close the session.
So moved. I should do a roll call for your first motion.
We'll do it all at the same time.
Okay, one motion.
Okay, so you're coming back, no action, and closing all together at one time. Okay, gotcha. Now roll call.
Yep.
Councilman Hogan.
Yes.
Councilman Van Tassel.
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire.
Yes.
Councilman Noonan.
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers.
Yes.